Now, News Talk Radio CJAD 800 presents the CEO Series, insights from top business leaders. Your host is Carl Moore.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. The CEO Series takes you inside our capstone MBA class at McGill. Each week, we sit down with some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing business issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us. Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus Nobel Peace Prize winner for microcredit, and Joanne Liu, former international president of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin, slice of the kind of thoughtful leaders our McGill MBAs are exposed to. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq. Thank you, Major General, for joining us today.
Can you tell us about your early years? Where did you grow up and what did your family do when you were small?
I grew up in a small mining town in the Eastern Townships in Quebec. It's a town called Asbestos. And this is where I spent all of my childhood. My dad was a policeman and my mother was a teacher. So I used to say that I grew up in a chicken noodle soup family.
What brought you to decide to join the military?
It's a hazard, as we say in French. I was simply looking for a challenge. I was looking for something a little bit bigger than myself to do, something that was meaningful. And I found that the Royal Military College offered this type of lifestyle that I was looking for. I was a little bit bored in college and I was looking for a challenge. And that's what I found by first going to Royal Military College. And then as I grew up through the years in the military, you know, a year at a time, basically.
I read somewhere that you wanted to be a dancer growing up. Tell us a little bit about your experience dancing, and do you still dance today?
A lot of little girls, I don't know, this was a dream of mine, and dancing was a passion and is still a passion for me. And I realized that I was looking for something different, but I always kept dancing as part of my lifestyle. I've always danced throughout the years, regardless of where I was. And currently, not here, but I do a flamenco with a group of dancers wherever we are.
What do you like about dance? What does it appeal to you? Is it a kind of an elementary, just the rhythm and the movement? Or why does dancing appeal to you?
Well, dancing is a discipline, and there is a lot of comparison with the military. So I would say that the soldier, like the dancer, leads a graceful and disciplined life. You have to be graceful in your actions and you have to be very disciplined and tough, which is, you know, strength and discipline are two qualities of both the dancer and the soldier.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. I'm speaking today with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq.
Clearly, you're a leader now to get up to the level Major General. When did you first think of yourself as a leader? Was it back in high school or Cégep? When did you say, I might be a leader?
I never saw myself that way. I know, however, that I ended up being the leader by default. I am more than happy sitting in the back of the class and do my own thing. But when something goes wrong, I just jump in and I have to contribute to make things a little bit better. And there's a funny story. In grade six, I actually quit school because the class was a disaster discipline-wise. There was no learning going on and I decided I quit school. And I left, taking two other students with me, and I did my own things in my basement at home. The problem is that my mom was a teacher at the same school, which was very uncomfortable for her when she met with the principal. And I basically said, I'm not coming back until you change a teacher, because obviously the teacher doesn't do her job very well. And it took 3 weeks. They had a new teacher, and I went back to school.
So you were a determined child.
Very rebellious child.
Well, you've overcome that to be in the military, I presume.
The principle of obedience to orders is extremely important in the military, but it cannot be blind obedience. It has to be a reflection of what's right and what is wrong. And then you can't just execute orders that you think are wrong. And in fact, the Geneva Convention asks of us to not obey unlawful order. So you have to be able to make that judgment call when the time comes.
I talked to my undergraduates about being reverse mentored, or they would reverse mentor older people. And we discussed in groups about how they reverse mentored their parents or their managers. The idea is that young people, privates, should reverse mentor you. So you would mentor them. That's absolutely natural. Can you think of a time when you're reverse mentored by junior ranks?
I don't have a specific answer right now, but I can tell you that my kids at home taught me a lot of things. I'm this person who likes to have everything planned in advance, and I was not big on improvisation, but a couple of my kids are good at improvising and not too worried about long-term planning and all of that. And I realized that this was actually a very good skill to have. So I had to adapt. And this is what, you know, as a small example of what younger people can teach us. It's also quite impressive when you take the time to listen to our younger folks, the critical view that they have of some of the things that we have done for many years. And then they comment on it and say, why are we doing this? And then I scratch my head and I can't see why exactly, but you have a good point. And then that brings up opportunities. We have young people with very good ideas and with a very good outlook on what could be done. And it's important to listen to these ideas.
We're speaking with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq.
You enlisted only 7 years after the Royal Military College began accepting women. Was it difficult to fit in? Was there some hassles as being one of the first classes with women as a young woman?
When I joined, I never paid attention to that, men-women thing. My family, I was raised with the idea that I could do whatever I wanted. And so I joined in with that attitude. But of course, when you get into that context and environment, you realize that there are different perceptions out there on men and women and what our roles are and what is it that we're supposed to be doing and not doing. And these constructed roles are extremely powerful. So of course, as I joined the military, I felt that throughout my years, maybe sometimes not necessarily feeling welcome in some groups. But again, we always find allies. We always find friends and comrades in the middle of all of that. And you just fight your way through. So I've always fought against three perceptions as I grew through time. One is that women are weak. The second one is that women are not fit for combat. And then thirdly, that women cannot be soldiers and mothers at the same time. So these are the three perceptions that we are constantly fighting through and still nowadays. But of course, as time goes, the mentalities are also changing.
So it's relatively calmer about those three things today than 20 years ago.
Not necessarily. And I think it has to do with the maturity of the people involved. Of course, when you're young and you're trying to build a place for yourself in an organization, there's a competition that is ongoing. And the level of maturity is not necessarily there. Again, speaking to our younger generations, we can feel that competition is there. However, as we have a more diverse military with this diversity coming through, there is a maturity that is developing also within the organization. But we always have to remain vigilant about these dynamics because they are there.
We're speaking with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq. Coming up, we'll dive into what does the NATO mission in Iraq do. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq. I teach on the MBA at McGill, so I was intrigued to see that you got an MBA as well. Why did you decide to do that as a member of the armed forces, and what did it provide to you?
At a very, very young age, I was given a lot of responsibilities. I had a multi-million dollar budget to manage construction projects, civilian workforce, contracts, and I thought I was a little bit over my head dealing with unions and all of that implies. So I felt that I needed to get additional tools in my toolbox. And that is what the MBA provided me. For me, this was a life-changing experience. The MBA allowed me to look at the problem in a different way. It helped me accelerate my decision cycle as well, greatly. So, and a lot more comfortable with uncertainty and complexities as well.
Where did you do your MBA? I should remember, I apologize.
At Laval University.
So I actually studied Laval as well, and my wife did as well. Were they kind of going, whoa, that's a military person? Were you kind of seen as unusual in the class?
Yes. However, I was wearing civilian clothes. So unless they asked me, they didn't know. But as we got into our small groups, there was a little bit of they were a little bit worried of having this military person in as part of the team, because they were expecting orders or I don't know what else. But I guess there is that perception that I don't know, we might be a little bit harsh or decisive or. But it's not the case. When we work in our teams, we have to make people, we have to get the best out of our people.
When we think about the military, we think hierarchy is very, very strong. And there's times it has to be. But is there more of a relaxing of the hierarchy today than when you started 25 years ago?
No, the hierarchy is very much present. And the structure, the military structure is extremely important because we are structured for crisis. We are structured to be efficient at responding at crisis. So we practice our reactions, you know, via these structures and how we communicate and who do we need to talk to. So it's rehearsed constantly. So that allows us to deploy very, very quickly when something happens. I will just take the floods last spring, for example, when we deployed, over 1,200 members of the military to respond to the floods in Quebec in 2019. This is only possible because of the way we are structured. What is, however, important is the way we interact within this structure and relationships and how we manage people and how we lead people and the leadership style we employ and the culture that we foster within this structure. This is what is key to a healthy organization.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. I'm speaking today with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq. General, what is leadership in your mind?
Well, leadership is the capacity to influence people to do things for the common good.
Has leadership evolved from what you saw as a young officer today? Is leadership different 25 years ago, 30 years ago than it is today in your experience? Or is it pretty much the same thing?
I think there is an evolution in leadership over time. And it is due as well to the leadership theories that is also evolving over time as we study leadership style. There's hundreds of thousands of books written on leadership out there. There's a lot of seminars and conferences discussing leadership. It is a very dynamic field of study, which has definitely evolved over the years. And one of the, I guess, the key nuggets that I've retained over the past year in that study is that we often talk about the feminine leader or the masculine leader, and there's a difference between the two. The masculine leadership is more aggressive, decisive, command presence, and all of that, where the feminine leadership is more compassionate, participative, collaborative. And the result of these studies demonstrate that the most successful leaders are the ones who can actually integrate both feminine and masculine traits. It's not necessarily the gender that makes the difference, but how the leadership is applied.
When did you find out you would assume the command of the NATO mission in Iraq, and how did you prepare yourself?
I learned about it last spring in the May-June timeframe. So at that moment, I had to hand over the command of the 2nd Division to my replacement. So what I've done starting in August is I started studying on the Iraq environment, the political, the cultural aspects, the history, and all the background on the current situation, why they were where they are today. I also made sure that I visited the various headquarters, including visiting Iraq here before I deployed. So again, I could come up with a vision as to where I would want to take the mission once I took over at the end of November last year.
We're speaking with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq.
I write books on globalization in the ancient world, so this is entirely self-serving. But why does history matter?
History does really matter because the people who are part of these nations, these populations where we live in, have a common history. This is how they see through the lens of their common history. And it is important that we are cognizant of that when we interact with them. If you are completely ignorant of where they came from, you are not setting yourself for success in your interactions with them, because then you can't relate to them and you can't empathize with them to try to bring them forward in their reforms and transformation, which is what we're trying to do with this mission.
How big is the mission in terms of number of staff? And you just touched on it, but tell us a little bit more about what the purpose of the mission is.
NATO Mission Iraq is a non-combat mission. It is an advisory and training mission that aims at reforming the defense institutions in Iraq. So we are mainly involved at the Ministry of Defense and advising on the management of defense, which is a complex and very specialized affair.
What have you learned thus far from this very interesting, quite different context? What are one or two key takeaways in your mind?
Well, I learned that it's important to adapt, because this mission has not turned out to be the mission that I expected it would be. Since we got here last November, the mission had to work through some very, very difficult times, a lot of friction, both from the deterioration of the security environment and the pandemic that has really, really affected all the work that we have been doing with our Iraqi partners. So if there is something that I've learned, is that there is a great need to adapt, and there is no point fighting a problem that you can't change. The key is to adapt to the situation and make the best of it.
How many troops are they, and are they all Canadian, or do you have a number of nationalities involved in the mission?
So the mission total is around 500 personnel. It is a mix of civilian and military experts who, again, have special fields of expertise. And they are matched with their Iraqi counterparts in the Ministry of Defense. We had to draw down the mission to adapt again to the security situation. And now we are building ourselves back up to its full complement of advisors.
We're speaking with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq. Up next, we'll talk about her leadership as one of the highest ranking women in the Canadian Armed Forces. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq. How long will you be on this mission for? Is it a couple of years, or do you have a sense of how long it might be?
Yes, it's 1 year. So I got here last November on the 17th of November, and then I'm going to be leaving around the 24th of November this year.
Have you ever been in a war zone where people are actually firing at the soldiers and things like that?
Yes, of course, Afghanistan and here in Baghdad. But here the threat is indirect fire, so it's rockets that they fire at us.
So you hear rockets from time to time and you duck into a cellar or whatever you can do to keep safe.
Yes, it's part of the security environment here. We have militia groups who are not responding to the government, so they go around and they basically speak politically via rockets.
Do you ever say to yourself, Jenny, I'm nuts? Like, what am I doing? There's rockets. Like, go away. Like, it's your calling. It's your job. It's a higher mission, but still, This is dangerous.
That is what the profession of arms is all about. One of the basic principles is unlimited liability, which is what we sign up in the military. I have a team of very brave people here because I also have civilians who are part of this mission, and they are subjected to the same threat as we are. But we are extremely cognizant of the threat. We are well prepared for it. We adopt the proper mitigation measures, and we have various processes in place to ensure the safety of our folks. And this is something that is near and dear to my heart.
What is the average day as a major general? What do you do? Like, what time do you get up in the morning and what do you do all day?
I don't know. I'll have to think about this. The day goes by and I always wonder where it went. Let's take today, for example. So I usually start the day with physical training. This is my time of the day where I do this, because if I don't do it right as I get up, it's hard to get back to it during the day. I come in, I have a good look at the situation report, either political, security, or all aspects related to the mission. I then usually have engagements in the morning. It's either with my Iraqi counterparts or amongst the diplomatic network here. We have a very solid network of ambassadors who are, you know, many countries providing troops to NATO mission Iraq. I consult with them as well as with the United Nations and the European mission in Iraq. So we have a lot of partners that we are consulting with and working with. Usually this is what I do in the morning. Afternoons are often meetings, internal meetings with the advisors, see where things are. And this afternoon, I was just playing in a security scenario where we simulated a casualty and they evacuated me to the clinic. And then I had my team rehearse their drills, the proper drills to evacuate a casualty. So we do some exercises like this as well to maintain our skills up to par.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. I'm speaking today with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq. So what kind of exercise do you do in the morning? Do you do push-ups, or what do you do for exercise?
Well, this is an interesting question, because we have a gym here on Union 3, our base here in Iraq. And the gym is, of course, set up to prevent COVID infection. So it's very, very regimented, lots of rules. So I quit going to the gym, imagine, because there's too many rules. So I do my own thing close to my sleeping quarters. So I've reached out to my trainers in Montreal, and Vincenzo has provided me with an adapted workout. I have sandbags, I have jerrycans, I have elastics, I have all kinds of stuff that I can find anywhere around the camp. And sometimes I drag, somebody to do it with me because I get bored every once in a while.
I teach strategy. And going back to the Greek word strategy, it's the view of the general. So you're a general. So what is strategy and what are tactics?
Strategy is really the ability to envisage the future and trying to figure out the timeline by which these things are going to happen. Being able to assess your environment and then have a vision for where you want to go in the longer term. So I think this is key to strategy. And based on that, you can direct your staff to work on the plan. Tactics is the execution of a well-known process. It's a known problem that you are addressing. Strategy is an unknown problem that may not have a solution. This is what strategy is all about. So if I had to compare tactics, and in the military, we have the middle, which is the operational level, and then you have strategy. Tactics is like mechanics. Operational is like biology, and strategy is psychology. This is how I would qualify each level.
There's a famous quote about the fog of war, where in the battle, you have your strategies, you have your approach, but then the fog of war, it's all going to change.
Your tactics are certainly going to change, but the strategy should remain fairly solid if you've got your vision correct. And, Clausewitz liked to say, everything in war is simple, but even the simplest thing is difficult because the enemy has a vote and is not always predictable as to what the reaction is going to be. A good strategy is what is going to allow you to fight uncertainty and be able to move forward even if you don't have all the right answers.
We're speaking with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq.
Would you have studied as a general some of the great philosophers of war like Clausewitz and so on? Is that something that would be on the agenda in your career or has been?
Oh, I did a significant amount of studying in for a couple of years, and I still do. Thucydides and Jomini, Clausewitz, Jacques de Guibert, Machiavelli, these are all military strategists that deserve a lot of our attention. Sun Tzu is a particularly interesting one as well. Extremely important to have this background, but philosophy as well, political philosophy, when you're trying to design a strategy or a way ahead, we don't invent that many new things. We don't invent a lot of new things. It's a lot of reheating of a same dish that may have been served in a different context many years before us.
General, what is the best piece of advice you ever got?
The best piece of advice I ever got, I was 22 years old, and my deputy troop commander told me, you know, ma'am, you're fine just the way you are. Don't try to be somebody else. And that piece of advice really struck me that day. And he probably saw that I was trying to be somebody I wasn't. That piece of advice has followed me since then.
You see yourself, you try to act like an authentic leader and encourage your other officers to do the same.
I think it's absolutely key. Somebody who has to put a face on when you come in to work, your team can immediately see that.
We're speaking with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq. Up next, we'll talk about work-life integration. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO series. We're speaking today with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq. Are you an introvert or more of an extrovert?
I am an extrovert only when I have to. As I said a little bit earlier, I'm perfectly fine sitting in the back of the classroom if everything is going fine.
On the other hand, to be an excellent leader, you got to act like an introvert. Is that a fair argument to make?
I think so. I don't think you need to be loud and out there all the time. On the contrary, sometimes you just need to say how it is and making sure that everybody understands where you're going with your plan. But on the other side, you have to be able to listen and you have to be able to take the time to understand. And that's what listening is supposed to be doing, is to help you understand before you can provide guidance or directions. It's important to first understanding the problem you're trying to tackle.
But there's a time for you as the general to get up and inspire the troops, I would assume.
Mm. And again, I'm a really, really bad cheerleader.
Okay.
What really motivates people is not trying to motivate them. I think what motivates people is when they feel they are being considered, they feel that what they do is important and that they contribute to their full potential. This is what is motivating. I am not trying to be a cheerleader and motivate people. I don't think it's my job, but I think it's important to inspire people to be the best that they can. And I think it happens only when you're this authentic person that truly does things for the right reasons.
For years, business has said to the military, be more businesslike. What is it the military can teach business? Because you have an MBA, you've had friends in the business world. What is it the military can teach business about leadership and about strategy and things like that?
The basic leadership principles are applicable whether you are military or in the business world. A leader is a leader. When I hear business people talk about leadership, I can relate very, very easily to what they are saying. The difference with the military is there is a lot of emphasis put on the leadership in crisis, which might be where the big difference is, and the leadership under fire. So it is often says that you can't manage people to their death, but you need to lead people when you are in difficult and dangerous situation. And this is where maybe there's a bit of a difference there. Maybe the preparation or the training does a bit of a difference in the leadership of the military leader. But I can relate very, very well to what the corporate world says about leadership.
You're listening to the CO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. I'm speaking today with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq.
How do you recharge after a long day?
I do a little bit more physical fitness stuff. I like to go out on a walk. I like to read. Probably one of my best pieces that's been following me for the past 15 years when I have rough days, Marcus Aurelius, Meditation. This book has been following me for the past 15 years. And when I have particularly difficult time, this is the type of thing that I like to read to try to reframe my sense of understanding of what's happening.
What's your passion? When did you find it and has it evolved over your life?
My passion has always been dancing. And at the beginning, although it was a career aim, it became a passion and activity that I like doing. To me, it is both graceful and strong as an activity. It's a great social activities. The other ladies that I meet on through the group is also a lot of fun. And for me, it's a great way of doing something else that's very, very far from the military, maybe in that sense.
I take it your kids aren't living at home anymore.
I still have one kid at home, yes.
Where is he or she? With you or back home?
She's at home.
Where is home? I know it's where the heart is, but where is home?
My home is in Montreal right now, yes. So my family is based in Montreal right now.
Are you on Zoom with her at most days and things like that? How do you keep in contact with the family?
I keep very regular contact. Usually it's about once a week that I speak to my kids. Three of them are located at three different places. It makes a few appointments during the week. But about once a week I speak to my kids and my husband.
So a couple of them are in the military, I heard.
Yes, my two oldest, my son and my daughter are so in the military.
So it couldn't have been that bad growing up.
Well, no, I guess it has been a choice that they have made. Of course, they've seen both mom and dad in the military going and do our things. And they've been moving a lot. Usually they go through seven or eight schools to graduate from high school. So they've been moving a lot, changing city, changing friends, changing school every 2 years or sometimes every year. So they've had a very military life since they were born.
We're speaking with Major General Jenny Kerrigan, commander of the NATO mission in Iraq. How do you face adversity? You must face a lot of it here in Iraq. How do you push through as a leader, especially as a female leader?
I think we have to let go a little bit of the control that we think we have. We have absolutely no control over what people will say to us, will do to us, or think of us. So that's why it is very important that you figure out who you are and what it is that you want to do, and then you focus on that because that you have control over. So focus on what it is that you are controlling, and that will be enough. You'll have your hands full with that.
Does the VUCA theory, volatility, uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity, speak to your world that you work in? It's something we see in business strategy a lot, but it does it describe the world you inhabit as a member of the armed forces?
It is, it's the problems that we have at our level right now are always complex problems, and we can never exactly say what's going to happen from one day to the next. I'm talking specifically for Iraq here. So big complex systems are unpredictable, and we have to get comfortable with that. Whichever, where you are, leadership is what makes a difference. I remember showing up at the Tim Horton one night, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and everybody was mixed up behind the counter. It took me 20 minutes to have a coffee. I almost jumped on the other side and told everybody what to do. Well, that's important, but the difference between a failed country and a prosper, stable, workable one is leadership. Not the technology, not how much money, not the funds, not the resources. It's the ingredient that makes a big difference is pure leadership. Iraq is a rich country. They just don't have very good leadership. They haven't had good leadership for the past years, and it shows.
This is the CO Series. Major General Kerrigan, thank you for joining us today. The show was produced by Marie LeBrosse. We'd also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna. Thank you for tuning into the CO Series. À la prochaine.
For more info and full interviews, go to cjad.com now.